3rd, 2020. Mr. Richard, can you lead us in the pledge?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Roll call, please.
Councilmember Daigle.
Here.
Councilmember Bourgeois.
Here.
Councilmember Richard.
Here.
Councilmember Andre. Councilmember Niesler.
Here.
Attorney Acosta.
I'm here too.
Oh, Mayor.
Mayor's here too. In your package, we have the minutes for our regular meeting on July 13th. Kind of looked over them a little bit. If y'all have any changes, let us know. I guess we could. Yeah, we can do it next week in a minute. Public Works Committee. I'll read a Public Works report for July. Total rainfall for July, we had 6 rain events for 7.1 inches. On July 27th, we had an event we had 4.7 inches in 2 hours. High water was evident all around town. All ditches and canals were draining properly. We had good drainage. It just came so quick. We coated 15 manholes around town with our LGAP grant money. Our street overlay was completed. 2 skate alarms at 2 different locations. Both were minor. We had submersible pump issues at Oak Shadow and south of both lift stations, and we fixed those. 2 out of compliance tests on our sewer treatment facility. Fecal exceedance due to chlorine interruption. All tests have been given to DEQ for renewal of LPDES permits. It's renewed every 5 years. No personal incidents or injuries to report. Roadside debris pickup is scheduled for August the 10th, the week of August the 10th. Extra monthly pickup is scheduled for August 28th. That's our Public Works report. With that, we'll move on into our drains. Unless somebody has anything else on Public Works? Anybody? We'll move into our little, just a little small drainage discussion. We had a couple complaints on our Venzu hotspot that the water got up high. We've constantly been working there, cleaning ditches out. If you notice, Roy sent us over a little schedule showing hours and inches of rain and 10-year storm. You guys got that? Via email, I think I sent it to you. So we're continually talking to Roy. We got some good pictures to him from the Parish Canal, from the Tonton Canal versus levels versus where it was. They're doing some work on it. We've even talked to them about doing some work on flipping a half of a ditch on Venzu to drain a different direction away from Venzu. So we're in process of getting that done. Hopefully we'll get some answers and get some prices and we'll move forward. And Roy, I don't know if you want to comment or anything.
Later this afternoon, I just talked to Toby and he put out a proposal to some surveying companies to pick up the survey information we want. We just got that back today.
Okay.
So we don't have prices for you. Hopefully we'll work out a schedule of prices for the different drainage areas.
Yeah, and this is very preliminary. We'll have to get some way, shape, or form to get the water to that ditch. We're talking about maybe trying to get some right away across a piece of property, servitude, something. So anyway, we're working on it.
For those places on Venzu, same one that you have
yeah,
problems.
Yeah, it comes across the back, kind of from Travassis and them, and it comes back that way behind Kurt and back toward Anita. So we're looking at, you know, there's a lot of work to be done, but that's some ideas that we have and we think it might work. We're just waiting on them to get some numbers and get surveys to see what we have to do and what it's going to cost. So hopefully we'll get that rolling. Any questions on that?
Did they do any, was any looking at where the high school was built? I noticed.
Oh, I can answer that question.
Okay.
You're talking about the retention ponds?
Yes.
Okay. So I met with all of the architects and everybody that did the high school. It was a perfectly scheduled meeting just by luck. I called on Friday. We met. We decided to meet on Tuesday. And we got the big rain on Monday. So the 2 retention ponds in the front of the school come south and then across the highway. The retention ponds on the north side of the school go north, cross the highway, and then come back south and then tie into the Tonton. So from the big rain that we had, From what I can gather, we had no issues with school water dumping off into the town or hurting our system at all. Zero.
Really?
It worked perfect. And it was good to have that meeting the day after we had a big deluge. I took pictures of them because they were at the top on the front, which is what it's supposed to do. It's supposed to hold that water. The side had plenty of room. But the side, I was worried about them all coming south, but they don't. Some go north. So it worked like it's supposed to do.
Where does the ditch on the north side, where is it going to?
It goes back toward the little crawfish shack in front of Sinclair.
Yeah.
I don't know where it crosses the highway.
I noticed that was a lot of flooding. That's the first time I had witnessed that.
Ditch?
Well, the ditch that full, and there's still...
Yeah, it was dug a lot deeper for retention on the north side.
Okay. And then that whole little crawfish shack area, was the whole parking lot was flooded.
Was it?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know if that's normal in a 4.7-inch rain that it flooded before.
Yeah.
But I don't know if... But from what I could gather now, nobody... I don't know if anybody was in there or not. But did you go look at it right after it rained?
Yeah.
Yeah, I did too. So from what I could gather and all of the no complaints and from what the engineers told us that were out there, everything worked exactly like it was planned. Now, they do have some cleanup to do. They have to put some riprap in some spots, and they have to put some sod down or that, I forget what they call it, the spray seed. So it's not complete, but it worked out good. It was a good test for us. I don't think we had any pressure in town from the school. That's just what I was told, and that's the feeling I got. I don't know if you talked to anybody, Roy. But,
no, I didn't talk to anybody.
Yeah.
You just sent me that picture of Bonson Canal and the bridge.
Yeah. So I was kind of happy with that. I when I first thought, I thought it all came this way, but it splits it. So. And most of it's done. It's all asphalt and concrete, so I think that was a really good test for it, and we'll just maintain that. All right, next up, discuss road overlays. If you look in your packet, you have a certificate of substantial completion. What I really wanted to get you guys to look at is the change order for $21,586.92. It was modified. Roy, we had some bad spots, right?
Yeah.
So while we had it there, we had to replace those bad spots because if we'd have just overlaid, correct me if I'm wrong, we would have had the same problem in those spots.
Well, you had a quantity set up in the project to replace bad spots we knew of. I think the change told me there was a couple other spots
right.
That y'all resurrected and added to the project.
Yep. So while we had them there, we went ahead and told them it's okay to do it. I think it makes no sense to stop them or to try to do something else.
Where were
they? I could get with Shane and get you the exact spots where they were. So anyway, I just wanted to make sure you guys are aware, and we'll just vote on, you know, approving that extra amount for the road overlay project. And if you have any questions in between now and then, I'll try to get the answer where it was, where those spots were that caused us to have the extra asphalt. I think it was smart to go ahead and finish it that way. So, any questions? All right, planning and zoning. In your packet, we got the minutes from July 22nd. In those minutes. We'll move on to the variance request. Request from Herbert Dugan, 341 Willow Oak Drive, section 19.31, zoning district R1, side setback, to reduce the side setback from 10 feet to 2 feet to build an accessory structure. That was presented to planning and zoning. Came out of planning and zoning favorable. Passed unanimously. Correct me if I'm wrong, we did get the letter. I think I got a message from Leslie, the letter from the neighbor?
Yes.
Okay.
Another copy.
Okay. So the neighbor wrote a letter saying, and it's in the minutes, too.
This one, next week, I think we'll put that
okay.
The letter. Just
yeah.
So we'll
yeah.
We'll get, first question.
We'll get a copy in our packet next week. And if you, Terry showed it to me in the minutes where, yeah, Vicki Rich is the neighbor. Is that right? Stated she had no objections to the variance to the request. So, thank you. You can just give it to Blaine, and we'll get it for next week. Thank you so much.
So, before we move on, since someone's here to represent that property, I got a question about that. What type of structure is that you're proposing? Is it constructed of what? I guess is the question.
It has to match the house because that's the subdivision ordinance.
Uh-huh.
I had the same architect that drew my house plans to draw the shot plans. So it will be brick. And siding on one side, three sides with brick, and one side with siding. That matches my house.
Okay, is the brick side adjacent to the property?
Yeah, it'll be the bricks to the south side, east and west.
Which will face our yard.
Okay. And the reason for the question, and I'm sure Kim and them thought about it, was a fire hazard, correct? So you're 2 foot off that property. If something should happen there, then you're going to affect the adjacent homeowner. And I understand they wrote a letter in favor of it, but, you know, was that considered? Did the homeowner consider that? And
yes, if no existing structure on building that now.
I have an aerial view as well. You need to see which there's nothing back there.
So your structure, the 2 feet is on the other side, is open yard. There's no structure on that side for your neighbor. Okay. All right.
Thank you.
I tried to come prepared.
Oh, no.
The driveway.
Okay, so where is the structure proposed, though? I'm missing that.
Straight
I'm sorry.
The driveway.
In this area here?
This is my house.
Uh-huh,
right here,
uh-huh.
And we're going to put it right here so we can drive straight into the...
I got you. This
is
okay.
Ms. Vicky's house, and there's just nothing back there. It's just grass.
Okay, so can I mark on this?
Yeah.
Do you mind if I retain that? Okay. Okay, all right. Thank you.
Well, if you grant this variance, you still...
All right, thanks. Any other questions on that?
I have 10 foot, so... But I think we'll...
Any other questions? Okay, so we'll... We have that information. We'll put that letter in our packet for next week. Y'all have anything else? So we'll vote on it next week to make it permanent. And anybody have any questions? Donna?
I think 2 feet is a little short, because you got to grant your neighbor the same thing if he wants to do something in the future.
That puts us 4 feet?
That would be 4 foot apart, which it's not going to be an inhabitable accessory building, right? There's no plumbing or anything in it. But I think in the future, we need to start looking at maybe a minimum of 3 foot.
Yeah, a variance, you mean?
For any building that's going to have a wall. So if you got 3 foot there, then you got to allow your neighbor, that would be a 6 foot, which is, I think, is getting to a minimum amount to allow, you know.
There's nothing to say you got to allow the neighbor. I mean, the fire, the reason for the 10 foot setback is
fire. Right.
So you would not have to, and that probably would be well advised not to allow the neighbor.
Yeah.
To come any closer than 10 feet, and in fact, you may want them to be more than 10 feet, so you have a
sure.
10 and 10, you know.
But so that in actuality, if this passes, we won't set precedence to where we have to do it for the neighbor.
No.
So, because this is a variant, so, yeah,
fact,
makes sense.
You know, in fact, I mean, the neighbor's agreeing to it, but the neighbor's trying to, you know.
Right.
The
right.
Neighbors may not always be the neighbors.
They may be the same neighbors, right, yeah.
But it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
If the side setback is 10 on each side, that's a minimum of 20 foot separation. And you're creating a fact on the ground that's
going to
affect all future development.
Sure.
Around
the
okay. All right, we'll take
so
it
if
up.
If you pass next. This, then, and you went with a 20 foot, then what you're doing is telling the neighbor that you no longer have the setback that's shown in our code book.
Yeah. You mean if you move it past 10 feet?
Yeah. They could be 10, but just understand you're taking a risk there. Because you're reducing the intended fire separation from 20 feet down to 12.
Okay.
That's what you'd be doing.
But by the same token, if you grant them 2, and you don't grant your neighbor 2, you're not treating everybody.
Yeah, but I mean,
effect, you know, equally.
Yeah, but.
Plus yeah. Code. What's saying the code?
Okay. All right. Any other questions on that?
We've done that.
Oh, we went to zero.
Yeah.
We went to zero on live oak.
Yep.
All right. And you could walk from roof to roof to roof.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right, we did that, huh? All right, we'll move on. Discuss final flat, final plat showing survey and two minor subdivisions of OD-2 of the partition of Adonis Thibodeau Heirs property for Oscar Denham.
We had two in on this plat.
That's, yeah, I...
One says two minor subdivisions, one says three minor subdivisions.
I did not attend the planning and zoning.
I think it's actually three, and I don't understand. I've looked at their two previous maps that they gave us earlier this year.
Billy Tuesday's taking out a little bit more.
Yeah, Billy's picking up some more?
Billy's picking up more to go through the right of way. Him and the other guy split it.
Right, and I don't understand. If you look at the fine print on the lower right-hand side, it says the partition lot 23A1A, lot 46 and 52. I don't see a 46 and 52.
That's the original live oak lots. That way, they just increasing the size of their lot, Jonathan and whoever the other individual was. That's why they put those lot numbers.
So they put...
They went with the live oak, the original live oak lot, not the other two sections. But the actual home address, the lot number for their home.
So, all right, so...
They just got a big yard now. So, like it's a separate lot.
All right, so Billy has this L-shaped lot.
Yeah, he had it on the his... To the
middle of that right of way, right?
Middle of the right.
All right, so he's just picking up that extra piece there.
No extra piece.
All right, so then the next subdivision is the lot next to it that's going. I guess that would be going east.
I don't know who that. That's another individual that's going to buy that section.
Somebody's going to buy that one, and then the other piece.
It's for Jonathan.
Jonathan is adding that on, so it's one, two, three lots. Is that what's?
Three different lots.
Right. And then if you look, I don't know if you can see where I'm talking about. Is the map up? All right, there we go. That's better. All right, so this is...
Billy Tuyer's adding...
That's Billy's, right?
Right, he's adding on to...
He's adding this, right?
No.
He's adding here. I can't see that line. Is that a line right there?
No, not that line.
Over a little bit more, right there.
Right, that's the right-of-way right there.
Yeah,
he's adding to the middle of this right-of-way.
Yeah.
The right-of-way splits the boundary line.
All right, is this person buying this piece?
Whoever's in that house right there.
Right, so this person is buying this piece?
That's the foe.
Is that Jonathan?
Yeah.
And then this will be the remaining piece?
Yeah.
It goes with this person?
That house.
That's Ron LaRae.
Oh, Ron LaRae, yeah.
Okay, all right. So we have this person that's going to pick up this lot.
Yeah.
This will be Jonathan's piece, and then Billy will just add to this piece.
He'll add to his.
And then Jonathan's piece right here will come to the middle of this right away, and then Billy's piece will come to the middle of this right away.
Yeah. You understand why I'm confused? Because the earlier maps had different lot numbers on
the bottom. They had different lot numbers, but he picked up, that's three, live oak was three different. You had the live oak, and he had two other sections of land that they bought.
Right.
So the map took up the furthest back lot. So now he moved back to the live oak lot.
Okay.
So Ron LaRae's buying that biggest chunk?
Yep, this piece.
Longest.
I don't know who owns this. This was all one piece up to right here, right?
Yeah.
And then he's picking this piece up, and then we're going to subdivide, and Jonathan's picking this piece up, and we're going to subdivide there, and then he's going to buy all
those
pieces.
Live oak lots, they were like three strips.
Right, that's right.
From the land grants.
The first map picked up the first back lot.
Yeah. Okay, I got you.
He moved it to the front.
Right, now, to answer questions, just this right-of-way right here, everybody understands, including Jonathan, who lives right here, that for any building to go on back here and these people to use this right-of-way, it's got to be a street.
It's got to be a street. Right.
It's got to be a street that fits our ordinance. So they're well aware of that. I've made, there's another right-of-way on for Todd's, I think it's right here.
That's it, yeah.
He was made aware of that too when he bought this piece of property, that if he puts any building back there and uses this to get to this property, that's got it. Now he can access this property from his own property now if he wants to, but if he does anything back here, he'll have to put a road there to use it.
The people that do anything with that property, you've got to come to town.
That's right, that's right. But I just want to make sure everybody, these, the people that are, we're talking about have been made aware of that right away, so.
Is that written on that thing? Is that written on that? Is that written on there about the infrastructure?
I can't read it on my map, and we've got the map so late.
Okay.
It's on there. We'll have a better map for Monday's meeting. I'm hoping court will show up Monday, so I wasn't prepared for this map, and we just got it, so.
And he's got some wiggle room in here, or has otherwise negotiated with town officials.
What you talking about with the road?
Yeah.
There's no wiggle room on that.
Yeah, well, we need to take that out.
We've made that clear to a bunch of people, there's no wiggle room on those roads. I mean.
Was that stated at planning and zoning about the wiggle room, or did you remember that?
I don't remember that.
I can't read it, but.
We didn't say nothing about no wiggle room.
Well, that opens a whole other.
The second paragraph under subdivision notes.
Over here?
We're over, no, no. Right there. Right there, those last six lines in that second paragraph, that's subdivision notes right there. So the second paragraph right here, the one in the middle. Look at the last thing on that line where it says, or as otherwise negotiated by town officials.
Oh, I see it, yep.
That needs to come out.
Yep, we need to remove that. Because there's no.
Yeah, we don't want to create any wiggle room or any.
Well, just to go back to precedence, we made a home builder here put a whole road in at his own expense.
Right.
And so, everyone that uses that right of way is going to, at their own expense, put a road in.
And I think that the people that bought the last, the rear end of all that property, they plan on building it down right now.
Yeah. Yeah, and if it's the same people we talked to, they're well aware of the road also, so.
Does the road have to be built before any structure, including a barn, if he's going to put cattle back there or something?
No, no.
Okay, inhabitable residence.
If he uses it from his property to get to a barn or some other non-accessory structure.
He can build that.
If he wants to build something that's going to have a bathroom in it,
right.
Well,
any inhabitable structure requires a road.
No, and
to our standards.
And we encourage everyone that comes in that those, we're going to maintain that property. So for them to show up and throw a bunch of limestone, not going to happen. That's our property. And you're not going to use that road and tear it all up when we can't cut it. So bottom line, if they're going to be going back and forth, they need to put a road in. I don't care if they have structure, but they need to put a road in because, and we told every one of them that came in.
We don't want our mowers throwing livestock.
No, I mean, we just, it'd be too much maintenance now.
It's our servitude.
Absolutely. So we tell everyone that comes in. So for me to say that they can't build a structure, we highly encourage that they don't until they put a road in.
They got to get a permit to put it in.
Yeah, exactly. So, and, so anyway. That's kind of where we stand on that. When I say we, I mean, that's my opinion, and Shane and I pretty much talked to him about that.
I agree with that. Mayor, is that captured somewhere other than just verbal?
It's in our ordinance book, right, Tom?
Well,
on
I understand
right?
that. I mean, but,
I mean.
No, it's our servitude, so that.
Yeah, it's our property.
No private landowner has the right to do anything on our servitude.
And they can't use it.
It's a right of way.
They can't use it.
It's
so
right of way.
So they can't. They really and truly, if they, I mean, we can't landlock them, but they can't use it unless we let them use it. Understand? But to answer your question, Rusty, no, I don't have that written per se.
It doesn't need to be written. It's our right of way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We maintain it.
Yep.
Well, with Rusty's, I bought a piece of property. I didn't know that.
Well, shame on you for not doing due diligence.
But we really try hard to tell them when they come in.
Yeah.
And just like when court comes in with this, not that we need to know who's buying it, but we need to make sure court knows, hey, that's the right of way, this is how it works.
Your ignorance is not on.
And we've had some people come in and we've sat down and talked to them about it, so. Any other questions on that?
We've all made mistakes.
All right. Finance Committee, we'll have our July bills in the packet. I don't think we have anything out of the ordinary. Well, I take that back. We have a $6,800 AC unit.
Yep.
But we kind of all knew about that.
The new AC unit for the town hall.
Huh?
And then we had an $825. Well, maybe not 825, but 800. Yeah, 825.
The repairs.
Is that? Did we have it repaired and then it went out, or what? What's the difference?
That was repairs at the police station, wasn't it?
Huh?
Yeah, that was with police station. That should be police station.
Well, I thought I saw the police station somewhere else down there.
Is it? It may have been that we called them to come out and look, and they might have put. Is that the time they put Freon in it?
Yeah, well, I that's what I was thinking. That maybe this was for all the condenser, evaporator in the system, and then the 800 for charging it. And
I don't know the answer to that, but I will dig into it and find out what the actual bill. He may be able to pull it up in between.
I just didn't want to, see $800 for repairs, and then the next day, oh, that repair didn't work.
We had them come look at it, and it's about the probably since I've been here the fourth time we've had them come look at that one unit. And Ms. Boudreaux and Patricia said it's been going on for years.
Yeah.
I'll find out for you. Because they came look at it, but I don't think the visit would have cost $825.
It might have been the police station.
No.
It might have been the police station.
I thought it was a police station. What is a police station on here? It's further down for $325. All right. I'll get you an answer on that. For sure the next meeting, unless Blaine can find it.
Okay, I found the invoice, but it doesn't.
That's all right. Just
good. Thank you for picking that out.
I was just curious.
Yep, we'll let you know. Any other in there? All right, so I guess I missed this, but we'll do it under the Finance Committee. We have $100,000 in road overlay projects. It should have come into Public Works, but I forgot about it. I talked to Tate Acosta this week, and he's supposed to get me a price to stripe Lee Drive and Eileen Street. What you jumping for?
Where's Joe?
Joe gonna be so happy.
All right, so he told me he can give me a really good price due to some movement of machinery around, and I think he can do it for less than $4,000, somewhere in there. So we've been talking about striping those streets. He can do it within the next couple weeks. And Terry would make it. That would be his way out. My suggestion is we pull that $4,000 out of our road overlay budget. It's $100,000 right now. Now it's going to short us for whatever we do down the road by that amount of money. But yes. So I'll get a more final number by Monday night, so we can discuss it on Monday. See if you guys want to do that. But I think we have an opportunity with timing, with overlays, machinery, that we can get a really good price. So I don't know. I suggest we do it. I'm leaning that way. So anyway, I should have said that on Public Works, but we'll put that on the agenda for next week, and I'll have a better number for you on what it's going to cost. Personnel Committee, I don't have anything. Recreation, nothing. Police Committee. Do you have anything? Governmental Affairs, Ms. B?
Yeah. And we have some applications. And we have one formal and start with. Okay, this house is at 424 North LeBeau, presently owned by Brian Parsons. But the house was built in 1955 by Mr. Charlie Marino and his wife, Miss Hazel Stern. Not much has changed about the house then, but it is significant because Mr. Charlie was an important person in our community. Served on the West Baton Rouge Parish School Board for 30 years, first being elected in 1958. And we've been talking about the new high school, state of the arts, and all the millions of dollars. In the late 50s, early 60s, Mr. Charlie was one of the people that prevented Brook High and Port Allen High from being consolidated, because that word was swung around quite strongly then and had been tried earlier in the history of the community. He and Mr. Lester Touyer, who was board representative from Addis, made concerted efforts to keep the school in Brule. And so we owe him a big debt. He was active in Brule athletics, three children were involved in education, and to Stoop and Lou Charles Marino Jr. served in the high school for many years. So we'll be happy to recommend his house to get a plaque. And also, he was one of the first people that Brule have a TV. That was significant. Okay, this house at 422 Lee Drive, the childhood home of our mayor.
Hey!
And it was built in 1968, so it's over. So not much has changed, except that they had some addition. They had a courtyard added. Built by Pam and Cheryl Rhodes when they built Terrace Hall, that son Craig, Scott, Brent. And Cheryl served on the town council for many years. I'll have that information before we have to vote next week. So those are the two homes for the 50-year-old landmark plaques. So we'll consider them next. Okay, question? Okay, the next one, we don't have any pictures of the blacksmith shop, but we began doing oral interviews in 1996. Many of the older people at the time talked about the blacksmith shop that was located on Heck property at the corner of what's now St. Francis Street and the River Road. And for most of the 1900s, St. Francis Street was called Heck's Lane. The first Heck who lived there came from Europe, born in 1815, immigrated to the States. And the place where they came from in Europe at various times was part of Germany or part of France, depending on who won which war. So he immigrated here and they had the property. This is the map from 1932 with the levee. Project. Can y'all point to the Heck name? Henry Heck. You see where it said bank? Okay, so they lost all that land between the word Henry Heck and the river, which was about at least two blocks of land, just like the land that was lost, you know, all along the river, especially in Brule. The homes were there. On their back property, where Wesley Saradet's house is located today, right where the word, or behind the words Henry Heck, that's where they had the blacksmith shop, they had a cotton gin, and they had a sawmill. And the family evidently formed, and they had large families. They had Hecks all over South Louisiana, the Olin family in New Roads that started Olin Furniture Company, that female was the Heck person. But anyway, the last blacksmiths were Andre and Henry Heck. Andre died in 1928, right before that project began, and Henry moved to Port Allen, so the family left, that part of the family left. The people in Brule that are still in that family today include Bonnie Roten, Freddie Roten, Paul Landry, Fay Hebert, Ergon, and Molly Hebert. So what we'll do is we'll put up a sign similar to the one that we did for the school over here, and we'll put it near Wesley's house because that's where the outbuildings were located. And go to the next plane. That's the bottom part of this map. That shows the names of the people who lost property, what they were reimbursed for their property. And then the next shows the iron crosses in the cemetery. The family dated, the blacksmiths in the family dated back to the about 1860. And some of the older crosses are not as ornate as that, but those that you see in this picture are some of the last crosses, iron crosses that were made. Blacksmith shop. Arlen's familiar with that. They pulled up and restored many of those. This kind of shows you an overview. Tex Lane was just a gravel road that went from...
I'm sorry, are you talking about putting it here?
Yeah.
Okay.
Probably near the front of his house or around his driveway. Just a gravel road that went from wherever to wherever the railroad track toward Back Brule before there was even a highway. So they were an important family, and the blacksmith shop was not just a commercial entity for their own purposes, but they did work for other people. Have an oral interview by Harold Heck where he talked about some grandfather and great grandfather. So that'll be a former landmark site that we vote on that. And we talked about possibly having a ceremony in October with masks, but we'll determine if that's going to be feasible or not. Those were the three things that came out of the last landmark meeting.
Thank you. I love that history information. All right. Any questions on that? Comments? All right. Other matters, I don't have any. Mayor's report. Preliminary numbers I'm hoping to get from Tipton for our meeting next week. I thought they would be ready this week, but they're not ready. So, and mainly part of that is because I was supposed to call today and I just got tied up at a funeral and couldn't do it. So hopefully we'll have those numbers Monday night. Any remarks of personal privilege? Anybody?
Maybe just a reminder on that Baxler or Baxley audit was sent.
Yeah.
They're expecting a return on that.
Yep, everybody return those, sign those papers and turn them for our audit.
Fine.
Yeah, I signed a check today for the first part of our audit, about $2,000 for the first amount that they're doing. So, yeah, thank you, Rusty. I forgot about that. Make sure y'all get those back.
What about census?
Blaine, did they meet here Sunday? I thought Saturday.
Friday and Saturday.
Saturday, yeah. So I saw the cars here, and I talked to one of the ladies coming in. I don't think we made a big jump this week, last week.
Usually find out on Tuesday.
On Tuesday. So tomorrow we'll find out where we stay. I think in October they start door knocking. Is that right?
Talking about doing away with that.
They're trying their hardest. That's why we're trying to get word out.
Yeah.
If they do door knock, it will be, they gave us the hours, and it will be a mask, and
yeah.
It's just a big challenge. So if more people do it online, yeah. Call in, do it ahead of time,
yep.
Better.
And it's so quick. I mean, it's fast. Okay, anybody else? All right, announcements. West Baton Rouge schools are supposed to open on August the 10th. That can change by daily. So as of right now, that's the plan for West Baton Rouge Schools. I do plan on trying to meet with Wes sometime this week and Jonathan about traffic, because I'm sure we'll have to start working on traffic. However, I understand that a lot of the high schoolers are going to do virtual school, so it may not be as bad to start as we think. So it's just going to be a hit or miss deal. So if you guys have any ideas on traffic, we'll work on that.
I know Walt told us that the buses would be on the south side, and all automobile pickup is on the north side.
Yeah.
So they're not mixing the buses.
Right, right. And then it has a, I don't know if you saw that little drive that comes, they can drop off at the middle school, or the old high school, if you will, and they just come right across, and the bus drop-off is on the south side of the high school.
The buses don't have to get on the service
road. They won't have to get back on the service road. They stay in the school property there. So. All right, and that's all I have. Do I have a motion to adjourn?
Move.
Moved by Mr. Niesler. Second by Mr. Richard. All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? Ayes have it. Thank you guys for coming. Thank you, Roy.